Shabaka Baba Kabarada Katas Lempatam de Cabrande Cabasai Bakabatalis Elapacom Rabas Cabatatanta Bacatoria Cabatalia Ecapeza Tocan Sabalante Cabatalia Tatas Brescapeve Campasi Salta Batala Amopatem Rasipaiva Padatelia Sky Elon Shanta Labakasita Kapate, Ekopotons Kababa Kabria Kapote Lemekate, Epotapitaskaya, Antokambos Kabreka Sevetata, Ilando Kamikabaranda Kotokotaisia, Epian Sombreke de Kobate, Aifata de Komitaise, Reko Shante de Tiliata, Apapo Setuta Saila, Adrata Tomasate, Ta bakate kante ekopopote kasetaya elonto mikapando kabiraska tata ebrakia kompres kibarabakatolia kabe ibo kampesilata ayakapapeza eblokotombe sufete tetebilataya Moko kapo, ekope digra kaposa, ekope granda kabaroto kokotea, elota komiba shaila bakata. Rikatilon de mikales, emi pepenenda basaiba kimanatana. Oh, satakade, eroko kokota ta santa, anda kimbe sabere keletosa. Shivere kumre kuate, afidanta pai, aprekisaria taboka, efrakon sabarakata data, epote kulia kaperiate sela, lemo kambisila bakata, karadabo sote kontena bate, peramashikta bareka buska badatata, aiko pendra kamo, aiko paraska pelekata, aiko praska piria vakandra ketudia, pekatido, keko koko, lata katate, erato kopiki kata, ponsa velante, anda boska, praski manate, Raski makavasate, raski babakanta, raski lete kotai. Oh, Jesus, Baba Mano, Saibe Sila Babata. Even now, we ask that you catch your people up, that we begin to express from another plane. A plane that reveals your demands. A plane that administers your reality. Oh, Santo Sami Mena. Akukele Pokotondo. One more minute, church. Beritin de Kasototo Maskailo. Lebrekote Veneta Pasco Padakata. Ah, naikato my kabaraso rekatebeko kompta baskata apepeko kokoto takariata rapoko seneta ibomta mokonda atakata brandeskepai pa kwatata mase ebeleke ketos ebleke nekatrande rotoko baskapadata atabentape 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 esombre Tommy Santa Bayata, that the weak is made strong, that the weak is made strong, that the weak is made strong. Oi Caso me cabarade sotebelai. Why you are glorious and worthy to be praised, you're the Lamb upon the throne. And unto you we lift our voice to say, you are the Lamb upon. For you are glorious.
Original. Scripture decrees that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What Adam lost, you bought by your blood. And so tonight we come upon the strength of your shed blood to place a demand for every single inch of land in this state. Let the hindrances to the increase of your governance be brought down. That even in this land, in this plane that has been defined by your spirit and also by history to be the spiritual headquarters of the north, let every prevailing spirit be brought down. Amen. Let the lordship of Jesus the Christ be upheld. Amen. We decree that the church comes alive. Amen. Let the holds of the religious spirit be broken. Amen. Let that which keeps us in church but keeps us in death be broken. Amen. Let the life that you came to give to your church be embodied. Amen. And let the buildings, church buildings, from tomorrow's service, let them be filled with men who are alive. Amen. In the markets, in the streets, in the schools, Jesus, like you did to the foundational disciples, we ask that you will show yourself alive by many infallible proofs. We're in here. And tonight, we ask that you will send us. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. God bless you. Please be seated. So I need a timekeeper because we are a little bit behind schedule. I need a timekeeper because one of the easiest things to do in ministry, like we do it, like I learned from my spiritual father, is impartation. Because that enterprise is not designed to be one dipped in showmanship. There is a basic tool that we employ in impartations, and it's sight in the spirit. So we only give voice to what Jesus wants to do. If he doesn't show anything, I will preach and go. So I want to know how much time I have, because I know I have about a 50-minute allocation for impartations. There are many things that Jesus wants to do, from healing to empowerment to the breaking of bondages. I had to leave my hotel room because I felt I was being distracted. I'm not too much of a TV person, so I didn't really watch the TV. But I just felt that there was distraction in my room. So I had to move from my room and go into the restaurant. And I sat down and I asked them to give me a bottle of water and a bottle of Coke so that at least they will not drag me out. You know, some restaurants, after a while, they ask you, what do you want to buy? So it gave me room, but that restaurant came alive. And it helped me journey very well. So I need to share a little. So I need a timekeeper. Somebody on a sheet of paper to just tell me how much time I have. This thing is not working this night. Okay, when does my time... It started counting from when I started singing. Okay. What happened to the time? Okay. Begin this way this night. For those who write topics to sermons, this sermon is titled, Fill Thy Horn with Oil. Fill Thy Horn with Oil. It's most of my sermon topics are directly lifted from scriptures. Fill Thy Horn with Oil. But let me begin this way. Now, the will of God is not designed to be a mystery. In Paul's testimony in Ephesians chapter 1, one of the things he said was that God has made known to us the mystery of his will. What that means is that no believer is designed to be at sea as to what God is doing, as to how God will do it, and as to the participation of the church in what God is doing. These things are very clear. And I raise my next prayer point, in case you have difficulty in discerning the will, you will come into where I stand. I'll raise that prayer point in 10 minutes. The will of God is not designed to be a mystery. Rather, it is designed to be known, and ultimately, where accurate partnership is supplied, the will of God is designed to be experienced. What's your name, man? Sit down. What did you call your name? Amarachi. What does Amarachi mean? The grace of God. Okay. You may not know what will happen in 10 years' time, and it's not necessary. I don't have a 2-year plan. It's not, you see, there are many things that have become very important that are not important. I was teaching in Benin last week. I told them, you don't need to know your purpose. And the look on everybody's face was like, what you just touched on is the biggest problem that youth couples have. I said, you don't need to know your purpose, because if you don't know your purpose, you are like a blind man. All right? But a blind man can cross the road successfully. All he needs to do is to look for a hand of a trusted ally. So I said, if you don't know your purpose, if you know the Holy Ghost, you survive. Because what some people know is what will happen in 5 years. Some of us know only what will happen tomorrow. So as long as we stay with the routine of engaging for every new tomorrow, when we show up in 5 years, we will have lived true purpose without knowing the statement of purpose. It means that when you wake up tomorrow, if you go to God knowing that His will is not designed to be a mystery, and you say, what are we doing today? He will give you enough information to survive 24 hours. And when you come on Monday, you will need to ask that question again. Actually, you see, the will of God was not designed to be known at once. The design is that the man who comes to God seeking, should I help? Comes to God seeking His will is allocated seasons of spirit communications so that He can tell you go to Lagos. And if you are waiting for Him to tell you what to do in Lagos before you go to Lagos, you already been living in disobedience. So what we have learned to do is that we sheepishly follow every single instruction He gives us, even though we don't have an end. When Abraham left his father's house, it was a journey from convenience into the unknown. And every man who has been called to walk that same walk of faith, we journey that same way. We were not designed in our Christian walk to be able to fully discern our end point. If not, faith will not be necessary, and manipulations will be many. Because if God told you that you are going to be South Africa's next minister, you will be living around the South African embassy, trying to lobby everybody that has something to do in South Africa so that you can go there. The will of God is not designed to be a mystery, but its delivery to the believer is designed to keep the believer dependent on God. So that when you get to Lagos and you drop down at Ojota or Beggar, the consciousness that now you can become stranded will make you ask the Lord again, now I'm in Lagos, what do I do? He will say, go to Oba. How many of you are from Lagos? If you drop at Oba bus stop, it's still a jungle. And then you say, where do I go from here? And then he tells you what to do. That's how I got my first job, post-youth service. When I got to Lagos, I was living in Ogba, around the Excellence Hotel. And I would trek because I had finished spending my NYC money. You people were earning well. We were earning 9.5. The bank was taking 300. So I was earning 9.2. And by the time I came from youth service, after 2 months, I'd become a papa. Living with my aunt, I wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to look for work. And I'll trek from my house to Ikeja on that bridge. Everything they paste on the wall, I drop a CV. Until in trying, I could no longer afford airtime. So I bound myself to a cafe owner. The guy has a government job, so I'm the one who generates password in his cafe. It was not for a salary. It was just so that I could apply for jobs. Stay with me. One morning, as I was under the shower, I heard Jesus say to me, after a long time, you know, God can wait. And if you choose to waste your time, He can allow you to waste your time. So that morning, He said, today you will not go to Oba. I said, or go to Ikeja. You will go to Apapa. And I'd only heard Apapa by name. I didn't know the direction. So I had to go to borrowed some money from my cousin who was working in MTN, and I took a bus to Jueleba. I heard them shouting at Papa, but the great one said, oh Jueleba, that means he decided to break his counsel into pieces. Stay with me. I'm about entering where we'll pray. When I got to Jueleba, Jueleba was not good that time. Your phone could be stolen, your cap could be stolen, even your shoes could be stolen. And if you are not strong enough, you will be lost. Was that kind of jungle? That you could be standing beside another person, they are robbing that person. And the design is that you act like life is normal. If the person shouts thief, you are not supposed to echo it. In the blues, a young man came out. His name was Shego. He said, you're on your way to Apapa to look for work. I said, yes, sir. He said, follow me. Now, so I began to follow him. We entered the bus. He paid for two of us. And when we drove through Wharf Road in Apapa, he pointed to a building. I said, there's an oil servicing company there. When you get there, tell the owner, my name is Shego, that I used to work for him. He should give you a job. So I dropped at front of number 22 Wharf Road. I still remember. And I stepped into the company Agro Energies. And I met the owner of the company. Shagun said, you should give me a job. Shagun gave me his phone number, and till today, Shagun's phone number has never connected. Never connected. So the man for the first few days said he was not going to give me a job, but I went back again. And on the third day he said, don't worry, there's no job. That day I had no transport fare to go back to Oba. To trek is to die. Stay with me. I was at the mercy of the continuous communication of the Holy Ghost. Instead of leaving, I looked at him one more time because that was what I heard. Ask him again. I said, sir, I want a job here. I studied chemical engineering. You need a plant design engineer. And as I was going out, he said to me, God just told me that you don't have transport fare. So he gave me 4,000 naira. That was more than enough to, I needed just about 300 naira to get home. And that same night he called me to resume on Monday. So that's how I got my first job. The desire of God is to get you into certain places, is to give you certain things. However, the one who has been called to journey with God must understand that it is impossible for a mortal to embody the fullness of the will of God at once. So, what God has done is to break down his will into seasons of spiritual emphasis. Somebody say spiritual emphasis. What the Holy Spirit does to give you what is needed for the hour. And so a man who journeys by spiritual emphasis will not be lost. He will find out that constantly he lives his life in the center of the will of God. Why am I bringing this in? It's because in this is my third conference preaching this week. I preached at Redeemer's University on Monday. I preached at McPherson University Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. I had Thursday to look at the face of my wife, and I'm here. Next week, I also have three conferences. So I'll just pop into the house and say, I survived the casino, and then move again. This is the second time this week that I'm speaking on the subject, the manifestation of the sons of God. And I perceive that it is one of the cardinal emphases of the Spirit for this season, that God is tired with the followership that is calibrated along the lines of membership. God wants a transition into a place, because there is a day ahead of the church that cannot be embraced as members. A day is near when we will need to take a major stand for the kingdom. And what God does is that he supplies emphasis meant most times to prepare his people for what is coming. We may not know what tomorrow looks like in exact terms, but I believe that in this day, God wants us to understand the shape of his will, and that shape is expressed as a desire to see many who have paraded themselves as children of God to cross the divide and come into the place of sonship. Listen to this. In the New Testament, the word sons is used many times, but if you are like me who tries to do some bit of word study, you find out that there are about three basic renditions of the word son in the New Testament. The first one is the one that you find in John chapter 1, where we read from in the morning. The word that techno, and what it means in English is offspring, a child. You are just, it shows that if we check your DNA will look like the DNA of your father. So as many as received him, he gave them the legal right to become the offspring of God. If you check them at the point of salvation, they have the DNA of God, but it does not mean that they have matured in the DNA. When you go to, that should be Galatians chapter 4, where the Bible speaks about a child. The word there can also be translated son, but the word nepios is an adult, but he does not understand well. And because he doesn't understand the dynamics of responsibility, he doesn't talk well and he doesn't act well. So after the primaries, some people said, "Kai, see these people that are contesting. Say Nigeria is finished. You don't fight people like that. It means that they are children. Because for the Nepios, his the strongest processor for speech is his soul. And the soul does not have the ability to be able to peep into the cell of God. So the things that that person will say will be weak. If you are one who has been listening to God, you will know that this person is far from God. If you enter a church now, and the pastor says the desire of God now, the counsel of God now is to make people rich, it is a weak thing. I'm not saying God is not empowering people, but it's not a major emphasis, because currently the church in Nigeria has too much money. We don't know what to do with it. How many of you are from the south? The church in the south owes the church in the north an apology, because we have missionaries who are suffering in the north, and in the south people build churches and after a while they pull it down and they want to build one. Now it's like a contest. Say 30,000 sita is small, let's do 100, and if somebody does 100, then the next one must be 110, and if somebody does 110, we are about to see about 300,000 sitas. You have seen the picture of your new church, the new international headquarters. It's you see, people will come from the US to see it's an architectural masterpiece. What you see in Abuja will be dwarfed by what you see in the Butemeta. So much money. We do too many conferences, we do too many programs, because the emphasis of the spirit is not known. Unfortunately, no matter how flamboyant we function, outside the emphasis of the spirit, you will not be able to impart life. Because life is supposed to be the signature of the emphasis of the spirit. So if you go down south, there are many 20 hours meetings, 72 hours with Jesus, and Jesus doesn't come to the meetings. I hope you know, I'm a burdened man, because I know how much money that goes into doing conferences. Unfortunately, the cheapest part of running a conference now is doing design, because everybody is a graphic designer. But church has become weak, and the spirits that are in the territory no longer have respect for our meetings, because they know that most of those meetings are held outside alignment. One of the things that we must recover if we will feature our sons is that we find ourselves back into the center of God's will, because only within those coordinates can you find life. There are churches that no longer host him. 52 Sundays, it doesn't show. The church in Nigeria has become comfortable with angelic visitations. Now some angels don't come again. Averagely, if it moves, in our school they say it's mechanical. In church now, if it moves, it's the Holy Ghost. Anything that falls is the spirit, even if no energies are embodied. We are in sad times. And so when God wants to secure accurate participation, what he does is that he begins to speak to his people. Unfortunately, 80% of people who go to church cannot accurately say that God spoke to me. So even when people come to share testimonies of deliverance by knowledge, the lines they use is, "Something told me not to enter the car." They have not been able to labor into the signatures of the spirit to be able to say with confidence, "God told me to make this decision." It's always something. The speakings of the spirit has been masked behind the unknown. That was not the original design. Remember Jesus speaking about to his followers. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." When Jesus was also giving voice, like I said in the morning, to his movements, at a point he said, "The words that I speak are not even my words." At another point, he said, "The Son can of himself do nothing. As he sees, he also does." When Jesus was challenged about walking, he said, "The Father walketh until now, so I walk." Amen. It was an advertisement of a life that was lived by sustained communication. What Jesus wants us to address first tonight Is this deformity or this infirmity around perceiving what the will of God is for the hour? It is one of the basic realities of sons. They live their lives by mirroring. Mirroring means that you must have come to terms with what is happening in heaven so that you can replicate it in the earth. Actually, prayer loses its accuracy, and prayer becomes an enterprise that delivers three answers. If a man cannot perceive what is going on in the realms of God, shouldn't you, what did they say, tell us that we could get as answers in prayers? They say there are three answers, right? That God said no. Have you heard that thing before? And then he says yes, and then he says wait. Well, if you take a study, because I learned prayer not by listening to sermons, I learned prayer by paying attention to the prayer enterprise of the Christ, and I found out that there was no record of God saying no to Jesus. That's the reality of sons. I also found out that God didn't tell us to wait for anything. All of his prayers were succeeded with certain lines as instantly, immediately, suddenly. It means everything that he asked God, God heard and answered. That was the confidence with which he approached Lazarus' tomb. Father, I thank you because you hear me always. Somebody say always. That's how sons pray. Their prayers are aligned. So in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus reveals to us that when he prays, say, Father, that in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. The line as it is suggests two things. It means there is a protocol by which the kingdom moves in heaven. That protocol must be replicated in the earth. It also advertises the reality of a life action. How many of you watch football? There are some football matches at the icon on the right hand corner of the screen. What is written there is what? Life. In case you don't watch football, you used to stream services sometimes. Even on YouTube now, there is a life icon. Am I right? What it tells you is that what you are watching is happening in the original place where you are watching it. And saying that Jesus was telling us that the prayer enterprise is supposed to be a life service. That the only reason why you should tell God to come now is because you have seen him stand up to move. As it is, when it's happening in heaven. So when Jesus was told that Lazarus, the one that he loved, was sick, Jesus checked and found out that heaven was not healing a sick man. He labored further to find out in advance that what his feedback was, that God was not going to raise a dead man. So he did not attempt praying for the sick man, because he would have got that answer, wait or no. Immediately he found out, the Bible said he continued for a few days. And like I've been teaching for over 12 years, there's nothing recorded in scriptures that Jesus did during those days. He majorly was waiting for Lazarus to die. That's the only thing that he was waiting for. No miracle, no prophecy, no teaching. If it was in modern times, they would have been playing PlayStation or playing draft, waiting for Lazarus to die so that he can tell his disciples, Lazarus, our friend, is sleeping. Let's go and wake him up. The reason why our master was precise as a son was because there were two facilities that were activated in his life. Before I tell you what they are and we pray into them, understand that knowing what is happening in the realm of God is not a ministerial reality. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be an apostle. When Nicodemus approached Jesus in John chapter 3 verse 3, Nicodemus said to Jesus, we know that thou art a teacher sent by God, for no one can do the things that you do except God be with him. And so Jesus responded to him. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. It means the proof, the certification for being born again is not church membership. Certification that God gives to the one who is born again is not enrolling in a discipleship class or enrolling in the workforce of a church. The certification is that if we tap you, asking you what is going on in heaven, you can know it. That's a proof of being born again. So if you stop your friend and he says, I don't know what is going on in heaven, the first thing we check is if he's born again. The second thing we check is if the tools that make that operation possible have been animated. And that's what we've come to do. Proverbs 20:12. We want to pray. Proverbs 20:12.
I've come to draw from you again.
Yeah. Proverbs 20:12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Foundational tools of the one that is born again. When you were created in the image of God, you were gifted the tool by which spirits hear. That's what the Bible calls the hearing ear. You were also gifted the tools by which spirits see. That's what the Bible calls the seeing eye. You see, this your eye can only see this world. You are still a blind man if all you have is two eyes. What happened before you were redeemed was that the hearing ear, being cut off from the life of God, could no longer be useful. You were like a baby in the womb with eyes but not seeing. The ear was deaf. The eye was blind because they were designed to only be alive to God. So when you got born again, the first thing God did in seeking to reconnect you back into his frequency of streaming was to give life to your hearing ear and your seeing eye, so that now you can perceive him. We want to ask God tonight that as we journey, he will reactivate the hearing ear and the seeing eye. We're going to pray for 3 minutes. Now, I trust Jesus that he will hear us. If he hears us, at least 12 individuals in this building will be gifted certain abilities beyond the normal in spiritual sight and the ability to hear. I'm saying if we pray, all of us will enter normal. There are 6 seers that will be produced if Jesus answers us. There will be a rush of the anointing to make them see beyond we can naturally see. And there will be 6 who will be gifted the ability to pick even the silence of God, because the silence of God can be heard. Can we attempt to pray? Ask him now. You can remain on your seats. You can remain on your seats. If you feel like standing, it's okay. But just make sure that there is this. I have too many things. The basic advantage I have is the ability to see and to the outworkings of sonship in the life of this vessel of God is built upon these basic things. In the day he came giving me his life and I received his life, what he did was to animate my ability to see and animate my ability to hear. He said to me, when you come tonight, the first thing you must do is help them recover communication. Prayer in Nigeria has become one-sided because many who pray cannot see, many who pray cannot hear. Tonight we recover the original shape of communication. When we pray, he speaks back, he reveals back. We have just 2 more minutes. Oh, Barak, Setiba. Stay with that, my son. Not from you again. So come, Deki Kandas. Let of a cabro di camera city di time. Let deaf ears open. Camposilia Kabata. Let blind eyes begin to see. Let that which you are doing cease to be a mystery. We have found out that sonship is participation, and we have come to the consciousness that until we can perceive your movements, participation becomes difficult. You have come tonight to recruit sons. And we ask, oh, that now you will animate ears and you will activate eyes, and that you will show me the 12 individuals upon whom you are advancing the anointing to see, Father, the anointing to hear your whispers. Oh, Sankato Telidata, Roso Kendo Sita, Rakuto Sei Kabalatade. Withdraw, withdraw, withdraw from you again. Yeah. We come to draw, withdraw, withdraw, withdraw from you again. Hey, hey. Oh, kama sana la te malatena, resebeli vetezu aito semima brahandi atedo. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. So you can stop praying now. What do we do to the 12 permission that answered us? So Jesus, you said I should ask you to give eyes and ears. We have asked. I ask that you show me that sign. Cause your hand by the anointing to rest on 12 individuals, gifting 6 of them the ability to see further, gifting 6 of them the ability to hear your whispers, that even in the season of your silence they will not be bereft of navigation. Now come, Holy Spirit, from my right to my left, from the front to the back, and let your hand tangibly rest on 12 individuals. Come now, Holy Ghost, come now. Holy Ghost, come now. Holy Ghost, come now. Let your hand become stronger upon them. Let your hand become stronger upon them. Let your hand become stronger upon them. Thank you. As I begin to count from 1 to 10, let your distributions by the anointing begin to rest upon them. Oh, I thank you. I thank you. Okay, so Holy Spirit, now one. Keep playing. Two, Holy Ghost. Help me find these 12 and anoint them. Three, Holy Spirit. Help me find these 12 and anoint them. Four, Holy Ghost. Five, six, seven, Holy Ghost. Eight, nine, okay, 10. Now 11 and 12. Cause your hand to rest upon them tangibly. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Touch. Touch and install. 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 Holy Ghost, touch and install. Now let your ancestors help me pick out the 12. The installation has begun. Eyes that see and ears that can hear. Oh, Saibatabe Akotta, Besomi Mede, Mento Santa Libriata. Play, play, play. Oh, Sami Moria Katate, by Kosetumi Kamrati Teles. We just have another 2 minutes to interact with him. And he has promised to anoint. He has promised to anoint. Help me find them and anoint them. Help me find them and anoint them. Help find them. Holy Ghost, move now. Let eyes be distributed. Let ears. Some of you will literally feel movements around your physical eyes. You will feel your ears being worked physically. 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 Oh, become stronger, become stronger, become stronger, become stronger. Holy Ghost, touch. Stop playing. Now Jesus, so that I can preach, help me find the remaining 10 and anoint them. Come quickly. Let your hand be very strong. Let the oil that sticks upon this handmaiden be replicated right now. Yes. Let your hand become stronger. Replicate this essence. Show me who these seers are. By the anointing. Show me mele campo saila. Thank you. There is a sea anointing here too. Can you show me the other ten? That in this house there is an intensification of spiritual sight. Ayo si kometilia kamrata. Lebrekovele kusata. You will help me and overwhelm them by the anointing. You will help me and you will overwhelm them by the anointing. You will overwhelm them by the anointing. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Ramosa kapatai, lebro hole kanse fila, rakosata anta skela teta brae, rikomisite vikabae. Let these cups be full. Let them be full. In dreams and visions, empower sight. In waking moments, quicken hearing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we are praying. Thank you, Father. Now, among these six individuals who are appointed to sight, there are two that used to walk in visions. But the Lord is saying to me that the visions are ceased, and so tonight it is recovering. Yes. We reconsecrate your dream life and we connect you to the spirit. See, because you were ordained for sight. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Thank you, Father. Oh, Spirit of God, thank you. For that which was lost is recovered. That which was lost is recovered. Now, just let me lay hands on those that are coming so that we can continue. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Now let's advance while that operation continues. Let's advance. You may be seated. But the hand of the Lord is still strong, and the numbers are multiplied. The numbers are multiplied. So, ushers can help me extract them. Can you help me extract them? Take them to another place where the hand of the Lord can make this work. Help me extract them. Samuel chapter 16. Samuel chapter 16. I want to take a reading from verse 1 to maybe verse 7. Is it too long? Or you are fine? Do you read long scriptures? Actually, I was supposed to read till verse 11, but it might be ill. Because now the average preacher doesn't even read long verses. So, permit me. So, we'll journey from verse 1 to verse 7. It's because many of you are not used to Old Testament stories. So, stay with me. I learned scripture studying the Old Testament because I love the stories. And so, when I began to study the New Testament, it made more meaning to me. Because most of the things that God would do in the Old Testament were foreshadowed, or do in the New Testament were foreshadowed in the Old Testament. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? This is my topic. Fill thy horn with oil and go. And I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Somebody said, provided me a king. Next verse. And Samuel said, how can I go? It's like me asking God, why will I go to Katina? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. So what God did to bring security to Samuel was that God multiplied the assignment. Beyond choosing a king unto the Lord from the sons of Jesse, God said, also go and offer a sacrifice. Let's run. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will shew thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Let's go on. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to this sacrifice. So there was a condition for attending that sacrifice was that everyone was going to go through the Mosaic legal system and give attention. Okay, you should go and sit down so that it's night, so that you not sleep and fall in. God bless you. So there was a precondition to attending, you had to come sanctified. Now, the assignment in sanctification will be that you will first go on a trip evaluating yourself. You will need to check what aspect of my existence is not glorifying God. That's New Testament sanctification. You will need to take the different layers of your expression, because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, about verse 4, it says that every one of you must know how to possess your vessels. It refers to our bodies as vessels, containers in sanctification. Yes, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Everyone. So you will need to, in sanctifying, take me back to 1 Samuel 16. You will need to read every aspect of your life, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands. You will need to purge all of them. And in the Mosaic legal system, there were tools of purging. In the New Testament, our tool of purging is a twin set of tools. There is the purification of fire as by the Holy Ghost, and there is a cleansing that happens by the blood of Jesus. The purification by fire is by invitation. The cleansing by the blood of Jesus is designed to be by confession. When you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse of all unrighteousness. So the Bible now goes ahead to tell us, if we walk in the light as is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and blood of his son Jesus Christ cleanses us. That's from 1 John chapter 1. Let's stay here. So sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. At 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab. If you have a hard copy Bible and you don't think it's sacrilege to write inside your Bible, some people think it's sacrilege, you can put a line under the word Eliab, because it will be very useful for this teaching. Eliab. It's a name that is likely borne by many people in the body of Christ. Now, I can't see my friend Endurance. Where is he? Okay, we have no exchange numbers. Okay. Then there was Confidence here too in the morning. Where is she? Okay, you have moved to that place. Good. And said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. What did God say in verse 7? But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. God did not say, I did not choose him. Refused me, it was an option. There were things that characteristically defined Eliab that will have made him qualified. God said, even though he was presented in heaven's council, I said no. I've refused him. Now, he gives us a reason why Samuel must not operate by this metric system, because Samuel's error was a metric system. And I'll tell you why. The Bible says, for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. One of the reasons why the Lord had to lure us into asking for sight is that in this day that God seeks to deploy men, a lot of people will be quick to say, here am I, send me. However, as many as are gifted the kind of lenses with which God sees, they will be able to accurately evaluate themselves, because these eyes do not first reveal to you other things. The first tool or the first assignment or sight in the spirit is that you can come to a better evaluation of yourself. Oh! Isaiah was a prophet in Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. He was an accurate prophet. Based on what he said, everything he said was true. But in Isaiah chapter 6, he stumbled on an encounter. In the year King Uzziah died, I sought the Lord. Seated upon his throne, high and exalted, the train fills the temple. And then the activity of those four living creatures was that they began to echo, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of his glory. So it was an encounter of sight and hearing. The feedback of those two encounters was that the prophet had to acknowledge that even though his utterances were right, the lips that spoke defiled. Who is me? For I am a man of unclean lips. The tools, these tools of communication, of perception are given, you will raise yourself differently. Maybe there's a young man here who is waiting to collect his certificate so that he can go to start ministry. You already have a logo. And that's how we start ministry in Nigeria now. It's the logo that first appears, and then the name. And then it is often believed that you can do ministry anywhere. And may you not live your life as a victim. Some people do ministry for 3 years and they are looking for a mentor to say, what are we supposed to be doing in ministry? Maybe you are about to start. If God gives you a right perspective of your life, you will know that you are still in training and that to run today will be disaster. May you be helped. I don't want to share stories tonight. So, let's talk about verse 7. Because we want to try and come into the consciousness of why God may be summoning a prophet like Samuel to travel so that he can drop oil on certain people. If you followed my reading from verse 1, you will find out that it was a day in which there was one on the throne, but from the lenses of God, the throne of Israel lacked an accurate king. So there was no king. One of the assignments of prophets is to operate with the heart conditions of God. So when of the void on the throne of Israel, Samuel was also grieving. It was many years of mourning, and God had to beckon on Samuel to say, stop grieving. I have a replacement technology to ensure that this throne is not vacant. You will not understand why until you enter into chapter 17. Because in chapter 17, a battle ensued. It was a battle between the giant of Gath and the giant of Israel. Technically, if you study Saul's story, you find out that Saul was the giant of Israel. Because Saul was the tallest in Israel. If he stood, he could see every other person's head. I mean physically. But in the day that giants were called to battle, it became evident that Israel didn't have a giant. Because while the giant of Gath was on the field, the giant of Israel was in a tent. That day has come. And it's on us. When those that we have called giants, those who have by the sounds of their tongues, and those who by their movements across the body of Christ, we chicken away and then we go back to the tent. It is to ensure that in the day that the giant of God rises, God does not lack an accurate man to stand and defend his integrity in Israel, that God had to summon Samuel to say in advance, put kingship on somebody else. Because in the day when the best of the Philistines comes, we may not have the best of Israel. I'm saying that there is a void. And I don't want to share those burdens. But over the last few years, we have seen so much void in the body of Christ. Well, I'm not too old. But I can confidently say that I was around when the giant of the body of Christ in Nigeria walked the earth. I speak of the last judge that we had in the body of Christ in Nigeria, and he's the last. I know there are many who claim to have embodied his realities, but nobody has his force currently in Nigeria. And I honor our fathers a lot. They have acquired so many, But I believe that that gap in the expressions of a judge is something that God wants to cover for in the generation that is coming. I speak of God's servant, the Prince of Benin, Archbishop Benson in the house. There was no man likened unto him. He stood. I was sharing 2 weeks ago of a meeting in Ibadan where Archbishop Duncan Williams a few years ago was testifying how that there was a crusade they were supposed to hold in Ghana. Duncan Williams came out of Benson House and he said he ran to Nigeria to say the president in our nation says that we cannot hold an open air crusade. So Benson House said to him, tell him that I, Benson Daosa, is saying to the president of Ghana, allow my son to hold the crusade. The president said no. When Duncan Williams returned to Nigeria, Benson Daosa told him, if he says no, it means he's not the president. Because the president of Ghana will respond to me. There was a coup in a few days, and the president was removed. When the new man came in, Benson Daosa said, approach this one. Tell him, I, Benson Daosa, says to the president of Ghana, let my son hold a 2-year crusade. If he says no again, it means he's not the president. Because presidents answer to me. Well, this new president had learned wisdom. So he allowed the crusade. When he came back to Nigeria, Benson Daosa's response was, I told you that the president of your nation will always respond to me. Many of the evils that devil our nation will not have been able to last for months if that prince was around. He was a father to presidents. Not because they gave him money or they gave him positions, it was because they said yes all the time. We need justice in Nigeria. Men who will speak in a corner and the sounds and the influence of what they speak will be echoed across the land. We need them to rise again. Many of our fathers in Nigeria have become very old. They have not lost potency, but many of them overstretched the seasons of their expressions. The reason why many of them still have is that a generation of sons has not emerged. When you see fathers touring the country, and that many of them are on exit crusades, they are going around to beat their children bye-bye. It's not a good time. The fear some of us have is that if these step out in death, the shoes that they wear will be shared by many people. But we need to gather legs to fill their shoes. Because if you have ever been to the Redeemed Camp before, it will be hard to fill the shoes of such a man as Pastor E. Adeboye, Bishop David Oyedepo, Papa Umar Opai. We will need to congregate like a million people to fill some of those shoes. Charlie, the balance of our nation. It's not because we have a strong security system, it's because those men are still alive. Men like UF Kumuyi. God knows what is coming. He knows that a season is coming when it will be impossible to stand before the enemy, when the church will run for our enemies. And so he has summoned Samuel to travel with a bottle of oil or a horn of oil to anoint David. Now if you follow that story, you will find out that it was a covert operation. Because you don't anoint a king when another one is on the throne. You'll be guilty of treason. And so God had to give the wisdom to the man Samuel, the prophet Samuel, to disguise his true mission. Step into the territory and summon to a feast unto the Lord. However, he understood that God could not anoint where sanctification had affected. And so as we join tonight, I will want to plead with us that in your heart, let prayer motions be on. What are we praying? Lord, sanctify me. The church has jumped out of certain requirements, and we're wondering why God is not as strong in our days like he was strong in the days of our fathers. Is that we are essentially a mixed multitude. We want the power of God. We want the potency of God. But we have not aligned with the demands of God. Samuel had to sanctify. They will have needed to take their bath again. Certain things will have needed to be sprinkled on them so that they could arrive at the place of anointing. My interest is essentially at the events that happened in that place where Samuel was going to anoint. Let me rush. When you got saved, you became a child of God, and that's a good place to be. But the purpose of the anointing is not essentially to make you a son, is to confirm that you are a son, because you are not designed to be a son without proofs. You can give me Romans chapter 1 verse 4. When Paul began his discourse to the Roman church, he began to give them a few instructions about the establishment of the dominion of the Christ. And speaking of the Christ, give me from verse 3. It makes more sense. Verse 3. Help me. Concerning his son, he was giving them a picture of the kind of gospel that he was said to preach. He said that this gospel was concerning the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So if you look at Jesus' genealogy according to the flesh, it was of David. Next verse. And declared to be the Son of God. How? So there was a signature that Jesus moved around with. Every true son of God must have been confirmed with power. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you see how power is trafficked. The Holy Ghost comes, he sits upon, and then power becomes a byproduct of the alighting of the Spirit. That's what you see in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. If you go to Acts 10:38, you also see the secret to the potency of the Christ, that it was an anointing. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about, the Bible says, doing good, setting at liberty as many as were bound by the devil, for God was with him. So there is birthing of sons that happens by redemption, but there is a confirmation of sons that happens by power. That Samuel was sent to ensure that whoever will be the king of David or of Israel will be anointed. He had to be a king by power. His authority, his dominion were going to be byproducts of power. It was to that end that Samuel came. There was a demand that Jesse should bring his sons, and if you were an onlooker, you will have felt that all of the sons that he brought were the ones that he actually had. Because in Israel, you see, sons, you can't be a son if you are not 30. I was trying to bring into the consciousness of the words that I used to define sonship. So I said technon, which means children, offspring, nepios, which means a child. And then if you go to 1 John chapter 2, another word was used. When John the apostle was writing, he says, now are we the sons of God, and the word that was used there was actually, is it 2:3 or 3:2? Now help me. 2:3 or 3:2. Help me. Somebody should help me check. It's 2:3 or 3:2. It's what? 3:2. So 1 John 3:2. I have struggled with this problem for like 10 years. 2:3 or 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You find out that the word here is not techno. The word here is not nepios. The word here is heels. That's the root word for the word hair. This speaks of someone who has been trained. Who has been trained and who can enter into the shoes of his father. It was this entrance that Jesus had secured that made him say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. It means that the Father cannot do beyond what I can do. That was the grand introduction that was gifted to him in Hebrews chapter 1. For God at sundry times and in diverse manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, but had in these last days spoken to us through his Son, who he had made heir of all things. And the Bible introduces him to us as the brightness of God's image. It means that you can't see more than Christ in God. That's what Christians are. That's our destiny. That whatever they don't see in us is not in God. And whatever is in God, all that is in God can also be viewed from us. When Jesus was told to bring his sons, he produced sons who had gone through all of the rites of entrance into adulthood. He brought every son that could stand in his stead. Every son that could hold on to his inheritance and multiply it, in whose hands kingdom could no longer die. So Samuel began from the eldest called Eliab. Now, how many of you have Bibles with lexicons? I mean, these Bibles that have numbers. Anybody? Good. Can you help me check the meaning of the name Eliab? I didn't bother until this afternoon. Because that name is a marriage of two names. One is Eli. The other one is Ab. Ab is the short form of the word Abram, which means father. The word Eli is actually supposed to depict God. He said, my God is father. In other words, the name of Eliab was God is my father. Eliab's name was a testimony that he was a son of God. That's the meaning of his name. And so I perceive that even his name must have confused the prophet to say, this was father. His sons were looking for. Everywhere he went to, he left a fragrance. He left an expectation in the hearts of men. That you see, this one, God has done it. Amarachi means this one is the grace of God. This one is the confidence of God. This one is the endurance of God. But God is this one's father. He's a son of God. That was the expectation that Eliab gave everyone. He was the most likely to be crowned. His emergence before Samuel gave Samuel expectation that in the day that God is looking for his son to fully represent him, Eliab will be the answer. But God said, don't make the mistake. The last guy was tall. He was foolish. Because he didn't understand that when you meet a seer, you need to hold something. The last one was foolish. He was looking for donkeys. And even though there was a seer in town, he didn't to approach the seer. Saul was helped to find the donkeys because he had a servant who was his wisdom man. God overlooked the wise man and enthroned the foolish man. Why? Because Israel made a foolish decision to ask for a king when God was not offering them one. There are many calamities that befall the nation when God reads our hearts accurately and decides to answer us after our hearts. Pray. I just picked something new concerning the political situation in the nation this afternoon. I have it on my status. It's a new wild wind to blow. And it will blow strongly because the church has not matured to understand where our true dominion lies. When you see the church advocating for PVCs, you know that we are undone. Because they have not known that there is a God in heaven who intermeddles in the affairs of men. They have not understood that the throne of government is stronger than the man who sits on it. Because you look to them to not sit on another chair. It's the same chair. It means if you have the chair, you have. How many of you are from Southwest? I don't know if it happens in the North, but in Southwest, if you sit on the wrong chair, life can end. Because the kind of priesthood we have there can smuggle a spiritual reality into anything. I mean, you can buy for puff your money, and then you wake up in the night, you are in a coven. Yes, because the puff was gifted transport. It was planted into it. You don't need to pray, you don't need to fast, you don't need to be officially invited. Every bite you took was the acknowledgement of an invitation. I have found out in God that whoever becomes president next is not as important as the throne of the presidency. And God has told me, I've announced in the open, that the assignment of the church is not to struggle. The assignment of the church is to smuggle God into the throne of the presidency of this nation. In the next tenure, if we do it successfully, the throne will control whoever sits on it. We are not that weak. I have my permanent voter's card. I have my own. But I know that redemption cannot come from that card. No. Now the body has shifted. There's a man we are looking up to. And I can announce boldly, it's not his time. May God give you understanding. No. I don't have the ranking to announce certain things. I trust God that as we start the new year, our fathers will tell us what to do. That's what I will say. But your generation is tilting in the direction of a man. And I'm saying that it's not his time. Votes cast in that direction will be wasted. Am I saying he will never be? I did not say so. But I'm saying this is not his time. And I bring you that word from the Lord. This time is not his time. Even if he wins, he'll be manipulated out of it. The throne will not receive him now. If he waits, that's what I'm saying. He will sit on that throne. And it won't be too far from now. What are we studying? Okay. Now, don't believe me. Don't believe me. But God will give you long life. That's how I keep people on their toes. Just stay alive. Be breathing. As you live long, you will see all these utterances happen one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. I'm not a prophet, but by mercy I have access. And many of you, as I speak to you, you will be gifted that access. A man cannot labor into it. It's a gift of God. It's mercy that gave me access to hear the whispers of heaven. That same mercy will find you. In the name of Jesus. Eliab showed up. Son of God. God is my father. And God said, Samuel, you are about to make a mistake because you understand the metric system with which I chose the last king. I chose the giant of Israel. Eliab is the, from Bible commentary, is revealed to be a brother. He looks like Cristiano Ronaldo inside Shaquille O'Neal's body. He's tall and broad-chested. If he opens his shirt, you see the six pack. And because of his athletic and giant-like look, the prophet was about to fall for it. And God was saying to him that for this new dispensation, there is a way to choose. I have changed the metric system. Right now, I no longer look at the body structure. He said, look not on his countenance. They say there's a way kings look. They look with all seriousness. God is saying, I have abandoned seriousness because Saul looked serious, but he had folly in his heart. The last man was a man of tall stature. That's why I told you that it's not all loud sounding prayer that is prayer. I know some of you pray in low tones when people are passing. You increase the volume of your voice so that they will think that kai, kai, tongues in capital letters. You see, it's the spirit realm that evaluates tongues. And if you don't have the tools, you will mistake a weakling for a strong man. Many years ago, there was a ringtone that used to traffic in the south. Was Bishop Odoi's ringtones. If they stole your phone and the thieves heard that ringtone, they will give you back your phone. There was a guy whose phone was stolen. Immediately the phone rang, the thieves asked him, do you know that man? Says my father. They not only gave him his phone, they diverted their bus, so they gave him transport fare. Say, we did not collect anything from you. Check your bag. Is anything missing? You know, but now every young man feels that if it sounds loud, he's strong. Loudness is not where the stature is. I pray longer, but I've even found out that the longevity of prayer can be a sign of weakness than strength. Because Daniel's 21 day prayer was not because he was a prayer warrior. It was because he lacked skill and understanding. May God help you. The longevity of prayer is not an asset until a man finds the path of accurate prayer. If you find that path and you stay long, you will cover a lot. But if you are still milling around and you stay long, it will only weary you. The Bible acknowledges that it is labor. But the Bible says the labor of the foolish wearieth all of them. It means if a million of them gather to pray, because they have not known the way to get into the city, the only thing they will harvest is sweat. May God give our generation wisdom. I'm no longer the countenance. Don't view his stature, the height of his stature. He said, for man looketh at the outward, but God looks at the heart. So I decided to set myself on a mission to find out the state of the heart of Eliab, so that I can know if his heart looks like my own. If I find out that our hearts are synchronized in reality, what it means is that in this day, when God wants to display his jewels as sons, I will not be chosen. That's what it means. Because this new calibration is a New Testament calibration. That when all of us come and say, God, use me, God, use me, I've come to announce to you that God does not use people because they told him to use them. It's a lie that we have heard. It's no longer the season of the available. It's the season of those who have come up to the requirement. Those who understand that because they are saved, they must live according to the dictates of God. Not those who think that salvation automatically qualifies you for divine usage. Even from physical things we can learn. And the available is not always the usable. For in a great house, there are kinds of vessels. Some unto honor, some unto dishonor. And the Bible says, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, he shall be a vessel prepared and meet for the master's use. There is a preparation that produces men that God will use. And when God begins to gift you eyes, I look at some young men sometimes that are doing something great. And the person says, sir, you can invite me. Ministers do it a lot to me. You can invite me from your meeting. They send me a picture where they are holding microphone. And it's not wrong. It's not wrong. But what I do is, most times I don't respond for 3 days. And then one of them said to me after 3 days, sir, you have not responded. I said, you have failed my test. You are impatient. After 1 week or two weeks, he sent me a message. He said, what is it, Seth? We are saying we want to minister for you and you are like that. I said, listen, I was waiting for a revelation of your heart. I saw it from the first day that you were conceited. What do I mean? Your evaluation of yourself is too high and you are small. One of them told me, he prays well. He says, I can invite me for your prayer conference. I didn't answer him. After a while, he says, I can help the ministry. I said, help what I'm doing. The number is not large. I'm not ambitious, so I don't need too much help. And I'm in a spiritual family that has robust reality. You can't seek invitation saying you will help the ministry. To do what? To sing? Did you notice that I sing a little? To pray? To preach? So what do you want to help us to do? And I'm not the strongest praying person in our ministry. I'm not the strongest. There are young people under 20 who sometimes when they are praying, hey! I say, Jesus, you help me. Have you seen Lamide pray before? When I met Lamide, he could not pray in tongues for 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Now when they pray, I'm like, Lord, So I'm not even the best. When I was in Benin, I saw him dissect a verse of scripture and tears were dropping out of my eyes. Say, cry! These boys have grown. God began to look at your heart. If he comes looking at your heart tonight, what will he find? A heart likened unto Eliab, even though you claim to be a son, or a heart like the heart of David. If you come to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we will be able to deduce from one verse of scripture the crimes of Eliab. That's what I call them. Maybe someday I will be able to put them together in a sermon. But follow me and let's evaluate. I'm almost done. What were the crimes of Eliab? 1 Samuel 17, 7. Am I right? Okay. So give me a minute. Let me find my verse. No, don't worry. No, I'll find it. But it's 1 Samuel 17. It's the entrance of David that I'm looking for. So if you can help me find that, I'll be out. Okay, so verse 28. The preceding verses reveal to us David's entrance into the warfare. When the speakings of the giant got to the ear of David, David had to ask, what would the king give to the man who kills this uncircumcised Philistine? And when they had told him what it was, he went to another man and asked him, I need to be sure, what's the price of it? So it will be the son-in-law of the king. It was while he was moving around trying to get answers, the Bible says, and Eliab, his elder brother, heard him when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. What did he say? Why camest thou hither? Why did you come here? And with whom hast thou left those sheep in the wilderness? I know their pride. If you look at this verse consciously, you'll be able to picture how some Christians behave. There is an assignment to be done in the kingdom. They don't do it. But every man that looks like the one who wants to do it receives this kind of answers. Why are you even here? Is it your kind we are looking for here? The little things you told you, have you cleaned the windows of the church that you want to be leading prayer? Is that speaker sitting well? You want to sing? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know their pride. Thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. The question is, was there a battle? It was the 40 of and Israel was always, they wake up in the morning, Goliath comes to say, give your best man. You come back in the night, he says, give your best man. So I saw four things that are inferred from Eliab. One is that Eliab's heart was shaped in restraint from responsibility. Restraint from responsibility. He was on the field for 40 days, and every morning he woke up to a cry. He went to bed in a cry. Even though he was designed like an athlete, he could not stand up for the people of God. He had restraint from responsibility. In this day that the church will need to begin to march as an army, everyone who exhibits responsibility, God will not choose. So we need to pray. We need to pray. Who are who we pray? Says, let's leave prayer for those who have a calling to pray. You see, none of us has a calling to prayer. It's everybody's thing. Are you with me? Let's go and win souls. Say, no. Me, I'm a singer. Let the people who are evangelists go. Eliab had a heart posture that dodged responsibility. That was the first thing I saw about his person. Two, his heart was shaped in the absence of jealousy for the name of the Lord. What caught David's attention was the mockery that was put together by the giant of Gath. It was because of that mockery that he said, no. We take this guy out. How can he speak about the armies of the Lord like that? Eliab lacked that jealousy. Beside him, you could mock his God and he will not move. We are not saying start a fight. But there is a secret place you can revert to and generate reality to shut down darkness. The heart of David was aligned into a posture that said, if you touch God, you touched me, and I will respond. Eliab was not like that. He had endurance for the mockery of God. 3. Eliab's heart was shaped in the abundance of fear. Because every time Goliath came and spoke, everybody became afraid, including Eliab. His size was not an advantage. Fear had overwhelmed him. The last thing I saw was that Ahab was self-serving and it was self-preserving. Eliab wanted to keep himself. I hope you know that for 50 days that they were on that field, they were feeding. Have you seen military men eat before? The economy of Israel suffered a big dent because they were feeding these men in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night for doing nothing. He was comfortable to feed off an economy he was not contributing to. And why he was comfortable was because he was self-preserving. He knew that if he attacked Goliath, he could die. He was not willing to take the risk. He wanted to save his life. Ultimately, he lost it. God's evaluation was Ahab. Eliab, you will not be the one. Where I'm going to is that if you sustain this story to about verse 11, so that we can enter into the last phase of this meeting. Another son was brought, Shammah. And God looked at Shammah and said, I've rejected this one too. All of this and were rejected. And then the prophet asked Jesse and said to him, at all the children. And that is strange. Because suddenly, because the son could not stand up to responsibility, the requirement was lowered. If the ones who are above age 30, who can be called sons, have been rejected by the Lord, I still do not doubt that God sent me here. Do you have the immature? Because when God cannot find his man among ranking men, what God will do is that he will look for a right heart between the, you know, amidst the immature. Oh, we have one. He's not serving in Lagos. He's not serving in Abuja. He's not in Port Harcourt. This one was posted to Katsina. And if you want to choose a ranking man, I'm just trying to sound contemporary. That we're supposed to choose a man that will lead the body of Christ or lead the armies of God, then we should not go to Katsina. And the prophet said, well, let's have the Katsina man come. The Katsina man was disadvantaged by location, but he was not disqualified by heart. He was a man who needed no sanctification, because in the bushes in Katsina, he had found a way of living sanctified even in the midst of adversity. His consecration could no longer be questioned. Immediately he showed up. Samuel saw him. God said, this is him. Anoint him. I want to announce to you that by a vision that God showed me, I'll cast the vision now, then we begin to pray. When we walked into the year 2020 before the lockdown, I had the privilege of traveling to a nearby town to join a minister friend for the crossover service. I didn't know I was going to preach, but immediately saw me, said, preach. I said, I can't preach at your crossover. How will I be announcing to your church what the theme of the new year is? He said, just preach. He will announce. So I preached. When we got back to the hotel, my wife is a seer. And I feel that every apostle needs one. So when we woke up on the first, I turned and said, what's yesterday? And so She shared a vision of church decisions. I went to bed that night with that vision in my heart. And then I saw something that was more scary. What I saw was a large hall. And towards the end of the hall, a long table was set. And I saw, I stand before God, I lie not. I saw all of our fathers in Nigeria seated on one side of the table. Anybody you can call a father, not those who call themselves fathers. I mean the ones that are fathers in the body of Christ. I saw all of them seated on one side of the table. And on the other side of the table, there were two beings. If you combined all the bodies of those fathers together, they could not equal one of them. Both of them had their hands on the table. And then there was a conversation in a language that I cannot speak, but the content of that conversation was accurately captured. It was a decision as to who each of them will hand over to, because the end of their races had come. It was out of that vision that I announced that in 10 years, many of our fathers in Nigeria will have gone to glory. All this story of 120, 130 will be a lie. Many of them will have died in the last 2 years, but the timetable was shifted. So each of them began to mention names, and I don't have the privilege to mention the names, because the names of the people they mentioned are the people that most of us want to become like. Each of them had a name. I will hand over to this one, me to this one, me to this one. It was a long list of names of young ministers. I had no ranking to be in that meeting. I stood afar. But I saw that when the last of the fathers mentioned the name, these two angels responded in laughter. The laughter was like thunder. Laughed, like threw their heads back and laughed. And then they asked the fathers a question: do you know these young men? It looked like the question that God will have raised with Samuel, to say, Samuel, do you know Eliab? There's a way you have measured Eliab that makes you feel in this day that sons are lacking, that kings are lacking, Eliab will be the one that I will choose. But do you know him? And so the one that stood to the left said to the fathers, he said, because it is ministries to be summarized and there is no one to take over from you, will extend the handover by 5 years. So I know that that national journey around by most of our fathers is a sign out journey. By 2025, many of them will be quickly winding up. Don't believe me. Be alive. Just be alive. I have seen that. By 2030, many of them will be gone. We don't wish them death, but they have served Jesus. And many of them already deserve rest. The reason why the timetable was extended was because there was no man to receive the beatings. See, a couple of my friends, young ministers, came around. I have quite a lot of young minister friends. I'm young too. And then somebody says, Kai, I've received the mantle of this man. I've received the mantle of this man. And I told them, the claims to any mantle now is a lie. There's no young man standing in the shoes of our fathers, because the transfer was suspended for a period of 5 years. The sign that their ministries have been summarized is that their utterances over the nation are no longer as potent as they used to be. Many of them have chosen a path of silence. They no longer speak over the nation because they know that the land will no longer obey their utterances. That dimension of the expressions has begun to wind down. Unfortunately, there are no ranking men in their state that can rise. When it was time for Elijah to depart, the utterance was anoint Jehu as king of Israel, Hazael as king of Syria, and Elisha as a prophet in your room. I'm saying most of our fathers have nobody to be anointed in their room, because God has searched the hearts of the coming generation. The hearts are ambitious hearts. It's all about self-glorification. It's all about a build to use God to build a kingdom for themselves. Selfless ministry has almost totally died out in Nigeria. I believe why he sent me here. was that he has preserved some people here. Some of you may be asking, why did I come to Katsina? He kept you in Katsina so that you will not be part of the degradation that fills the nation. Sometimes God hides men so that they can be preserved. When I got to Bomasho, and you know, our city is not even a state capital. I asked the Lord after 3 months, how you will waste my life here? I shared many times the lure of Ogbomosho was absent, because I worked in the oil and gas. When I came back from youth service, because of proficiency, my first salary was 480,000 in 2009. I was ahead of my plant design unit. I was very good in what I was doing. When I got to Ogbomosho, the only oil and gas company in our town, I finished. So I had the options of being a filling station manager or a petrol attendant if I chose that line. So I decided to go with what God offered me, which was a teaching job. And for 22 months of my life, I was on a salary of 13,000 naira every month in a private school. One day I sat down with the Lord and said, tell me, why have you chosen to waste my life? Well, in the school, I still look like a genius, because what I was teaching was further maths. The Lord said, I took you away from the seat. I took you away from the noise so that you can hear me. That access I introduced to you was a gift of mercy. When I arrived to Bomosho, my ears are like satellites. They can pick whispers. Some of you were brought away from everywhere, so that if you want to go back to Lagos now, you need to think well. How many hours to Lagos from here? 22. So if your husband is getting married, you know you will travel by road for 2 days, and then you do the wedding. The joy of the wedding will have died before you return. Unfortunately, traveling by road has even become difficult, because there are regions that human beings must no longer pass. Except God sent you, you will not be seen again. So many of you have been kept here because God wants to find you. He wants to ensure that the one that leaves you service and goes back in the rest of the nation is one who has found a path of consecration, one that has been anointed to be king even while in the desert. That's why I came. The first thing we are going to do tonight is to repent of the sins of Eliab. The average young person is self-seeking, is self-preserving. The average young person is no longer jealous for the name of the Lord. We want to plead with him to have mercy upon us. If he answers us, he will shower upon us. Can we pray? I don't want to take too much of your time. I will have taken 2 other scriptures to show you how this day is a dangerous day. We are just on the multi-coronations. God will confirm his sons with power. Don't sleep. Be sensitive. So pray. In case silent prayer will be a disadvantage to you, you can stand. Make sure you are not sleeping. We are almost done. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Alamogra hang trafikana sefahai. Lebro vehivana soskevela hato vehikatahai. Bako saton kasadila kabraskevela tabai. We repent of the crimes of Eliab. Is there someone here that has stayed away from responsibility? You want to say to the Lord, have mercy. Is there someone who has lived in fear? One who has not been able to advance, even though the Lord has spoken? Can you plead with him and say, Lord, have mercy upon me? In case you have your hands dipped into iniquity, it's another good time to say, Lord, show me mercy. Show me mercy. This establishment, the anointing for sonship, is for those who have come through the corridors of sanctification. And tonight we subscribe to the blood. We subscribe to the blood.
We subscribe to the blood. Tonight, Lord, cleanse. From the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, we plead with you that according to your word, you will be rich towards us in mercy. You will wash. You will purge of unrighteousness. Oh, send us the flames of your spirit. Let this threshing floor of yours be purged. Gather the wheat into the garner and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. O saparezizo satali, bon talamro sefibaratu sakababai. Cleanse, 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 cleanse. Relevance in the agenda of God is for the consecrated, is for the sanctified, is not essentially for the saved. Salvation predisposes us to divine usage. What confirms us to be used by God is that we take sides with God in purity. And tonight we plead that mercy will prevail. The weakness in the body of Christ is not as a result of actual dissociation from God. It's that we have been found wanting. The feedback of heaven's evaluation reveals that we are a filthy company. We are holy, but we are impure. And tonight we ask for mercy. We ask for mercy. Can we be intentional for another 2 minutes? He has promised to come and he will come. I perceive that in the next few minutes, that horn of oil will descend into this building. Omomos ateli vitalas barateto satetitai ivakolian sekubrande komitabanate rekobesitra baskata bailale kubretitelos. Mercy, 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 mercy. Let your blood be released to cleanse your church. A field of selfish living. Cleanse us of the sin of self-preservation. Oh, come on, cleanse us from the posture of fear. Let that which restrains from responsibility be purged out of our spirits. Oh, Santo Tetirianta Lebro Hotelas. The Lord is saying to me that wherever true repentance happens, there will be a distribution of the grace of God. Oh, Pastor Kamata Tatana Dati Bahai. Oh, Jesus. Lipto Kulia Sile. Lipto Kulia Sile. Can we tarry a little longer? I am perceiving the strength of his presence entering the building. We are bound to come into that moment. He's here. He's here. Bokasai compress kifalatado sai. Bariko kemino santokla kabradia kabotetai. He's here. He's here. He's here. And he will heal tonight. He will deliver tonight. He will restore tonight. He will empower tonight. Because true confession will open the gates of the distributions of grace. We embrace you, great one. Oh, show them on the braha superada bahai. May levinos keletana. May levinos keletana. May la filos keletana rekete sonta kidita rakoton so kapo pananta tai ilande boka pande veke kantos ikaito mi kanatande kraska fata ilanda bai kambrasko pelantele meko ponta meko pete kosa ilope kababa pananta tai
You can join him. Cleanse, and more Jesus. Shadow breakers of high. Ayoye, so me be no tire. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Now, there is a progression that the Lord has initiated in the delivery of grace tonight. All we will do is just follow. Now, there are two individuals in this meeting. The Lord is saying to me that there is a garment of grace that these two individuals wear. And this garment of grace was given by God to accelerate their growth by exposing them to spiritual encounters. Two individuals. In conviction, as you study the word, it's supposed to be by the multiplicity of encounters. And what makes it that way is that a garment of grace has been assigned to you. I don't know who they are, but I will pray a short prayer. The Lord is saying to me that there are only 10 things that you will do this night. Only 10. And so I'm just going to follow. The first is that this garment of grace will be given, and your encounters from tonight, I mean from your sleep tonight, will be multiplied. One of you beyond encounters in your sleep or in your dreams will have many physical encounters. Okay, so let me pray. Now, Jesus speaks to individuals that you have appointed to wear these garments of grace that exposes them to the multiplicity of encounters. Can you help me find them as I count 1 to 5 and wear this garment upon them as an anointing? Let it become so overwhelming so that I can be able to recognize what they look like and make good your promise to bring them into multiple encounters. Thank you for answering me. In your name, Lord Jesus, have I prayed. Now, from my left to my right, Holy Spirit, according to that which I have revealed, help me find these two individuals and overwhelm them. Help me find them and overwhelm them. One, Holy Ghost. Help me find them and overwhelm them. Clothe them with this garment of grace. Clothe them with this garment of grace. Clothe them. Two, Holy Ghost. Three, Holy Ghost. Five. Let these two individuals that you have impressed upon my heart be touched by your spirit. Wear the garments upon their shoulders. Wear the garments upon their shoulders. Show me. Show me. Show me. Show me. Show me. Now you impress two upon my heart. Help me find the second individual and cause your hand to overwhelm. Cause your hand to overwhelm. Cause your hand in the name of Jesus. Oh, Sapuco Velas. Ah.
What you will do is just help me lay hands on them. Just go and lay hands on them. Janu Kantagras Katela Kopaseta Rekatalina Sete Kantabamai. There are four individuals under the sound of my voice. Listen, listen. Oh, peace. Oh, Jesus. So you can touch this one too. There are four individuals under the sound of my voice. I will describe your dream experience so that you can know what Jesus wants to do. You can kill the sound for now. When I pray, then you come. Okay. Jesus is saying to me that the four of you have dreams that suggest that you were shaped as baptizers. Now, the baptizers are impartation specialists. In the dreams, you used to see yourself lay hands on people and get them filled with all kinds of spiritual realities. But in the physical, it doesn't happen. Now, Jesus is saying that what you see in your dreams is actually a picture revealing to you what your ordination looks like. And from tonight, he wants to bring that reality out of your dreams into the physical, so that you will become dispensaries of the realities of God. Four individuals. There's another individual here. It's also dream related. When you sleep, you always dream that you're about to go on a journey. And that person, I want to pray for that person myself. You see yourself pack for a journey. One, there are two individuals. Two. You pack your bags like you're going on a journey, but you never go on that journey. I want to pray for those two individuals while I ask the Lord to help me find these four who is baptized. So if you are one of those two individuals, you pack your load like you are going on a journey, but you have never seen yourself go on that journey. Come quickly. I want to pray with you. Come quickly. Come quickly. He's showing. Come quickly. Just come here. Come here. Come here. Okay. This is our secretary. Have I seen him since I came? Okay, but what were you wearing before? Okay. So, I need to be sure that what I'm saying is what they are saying, so that it's not like they are helping my ministry. So, help me ask them. You know, people used to help ministers' ministry. Anything you say, some people, because of solidarity, will come and say they are the ones. So, let's not be false. Now, those other people that are that Jesus is anointing as baptizers, don't join this group. No. Just ask them. If it's wrong, send them back. It means it's nothing. Because he showed me only two. This number is large. There can be more anyway. So, the rest of the, while they are asking, can we pray in 1 minute, asking Jesus that he will show these our four brethren mercy, and that tonight he will bring us dream realities and establish it as a physical reality. Let's pray in 1 minute. You can join me. What's your name? Samuel. It's a good name for this meeting. So Samuel, play. We want to export that dream reality by the anointing. By the anointing. Oh, Jesus. Rano Guti Gelenaske Divinati Rana Midas the Siva Matalinas for Sandi Aibo Prasta Batanda Libra Midishatai.
In Jesus' name we are praying. Father, help us tonight. And by the anointing, locate these four individuals who need to see their dream realities exported. They have seen themselves impact people in the dreams successfully, but physically, there's been disappointments. One of them has even seen himself heal the sick by the laying of hands in his dreams, but it has never happened physically. I ask that you will help me find them, and tonight you will bring them into reality. Help me find them and anoint them. As I count 1 to 7, let the four of them come under the strength of your spirit and let these dream realities be exported. Thank you, Catherine. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Now, Holy Ghost, from my left to my right, from the front to the back, come. Help me find these ones and anoint them. Holy Ghost, 1, 2. Help me find them and anoint them. Cause your hand strong upon them. 3. Holy Spirit, 4. Help me now. 5. 6. Holy Spirit, let it become stronger. 7. Holy Ghost, 8. I'm out of 7. Now, anoint the 3 of them. Don't play the drums. Anoint the 3 of them and help me find that brother. It's the mix of a baptizer and who has been gifted the healing anointing. So, ushers, I'm looking for that brother. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, cause your hand to be strong, cause your hand to be strong upon them. Let this dream reality become physical. Let it be tangible. Let the spirits that contain them in their dreams lose their hold in the name of Jesus. Now, help me lay hands on them. They are four that Jesus showed. No. For time's sake, I'm just for time. Lay hands on them. You are as good as I am. Give me 2 of them. Now, you showed me 4. I asked that you give me the balance of these precious ones. These distributors of the realities of the spirit locked up in dreams, let the curse break. Let the curse break. Let the curse break. Let the curse break. Let these realities become physical in the name of Jesus. We give you motion in the spirit. We give you motion in the spirit. We give you motion in the spirit. Let that which contains be broken. They are not content. We give you motion. Let the cycles of time break. Hold up.
move in the name of Jesus.
Yes, move. We put speed to your feet. Let those cycles of containment be broken in the name of Jesus. Maninoto Kados. Rabon Covenate Kasasai. Kamre de Nemota.
Where's that brother or sister? This one. Help him up. Help him. Just hold. Let that which hinders break. Let that which hinders break. Let that which has been planted to hinder you be separated from you. Oh, Shabaku Rakaba, Miminatesa. I come by the blood tonight to speak against the voices that have hindered you. Let your realities in your dreams. Tonight you are free. Tonight you are free. Tonight you are free. You are free. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, praying for him, the Lord is speaking to me about someone else. There are two individuals in this building. What God has prepared for you is ancient. It's ancient. I see my spirit two garments, old garments. They look like priestly garments. And the Lord is saying to me that these two individuals understand what God is offering them. Nothing contemporary. But these ancient garments have attracted ancient challenges. I don't know what is wrong with the first person, but for the second person, what you have been told to carry is a garment that certain men shed because of their battles around immorality. You have said yes to Jesus, but at the point of acknowledgement, you are currently in a battle with lust. And tonight Jesus says he will give you that mantle and he will overcome that adversary. I don't know who these two individuals are. My interest lies more with that one who has started seeing the impact of that strange adversary, that ancient adversary. And tonight, Jesus, I'm asking that you walk into the congregation by mercy as a bondage breaker. Let that age, that hole, that ancient spirit that seeks to corrupt this ancient mantle be broken. Show me who these two individuals are by the anointing. Let an end come to those bouts of lust. Stop playing. Now, this individual I'm talking about, I don't know what is wrong with the first one. But this is how these mantles work. The people who bore these mantles, these graces, that's what I mean, they fell because an ancient adversary stood against them. And so everyone who embodies these mantles needs to fight to win against this ancient spirit. Saying that one of these two people, your two spirits began when you became serious with Jesus. Jesus wants to give you what he has promised, but to break this hold. That's what he will do now. I'm not going to call you to where you are, the hand of the Lord will meet you. Periodically, you just feel like they are like suggestions onto immorality. Periodically, it's not all the time. It's not all the time. Jesus wants to separate you from that experience. And so I'm asking you, Lord, that help these two of my brethren. Help me find them. And set them free. Set them free so you have in store for them. Help me find these two individuals.
and let that yoke breaking oil be administered. He comes now. He comes now. He comes now. From my right to my left, the hand of the Lord helps me to find these two individuals, and it becomes strong, breaking their bondages. Breaking their bondages. Holy Ghost, move now. You can play. Now, ushers, if you find them, help me bring them. There are two individuals. Move now. Separate them from this ancient adversary. Vanquish the enemy. Vanquish the enemy. Now, you can watch these two lives because they will begin to operate these graces strongly. Can you help me find this second person and cause your hand to rest? Cause your hand to rest. Cause your hand to rest. Let this ancient adversary be separated from you. Be separated from you. Let the enemy be destroyed for your sake. That of you it will not be said that you embody the grace and you embody the weakness. Oh, Jesus. Now, I need a lady to come. Any of the ladies, come. You come, you come. Hold my hand. I want you to place this hand on this sister's stomach. And then you pray in tongues for like 2 minutes. Is that fine? Good. So, just put your hand on her stomach and pray in tongues for 2 minutes. Pray in tongues for 2 minutes. Just pray in tongues for 2 minutes. Susana Mamova Hattes. Lemdo Hila Skovera Hila Kata. Bring her. Bring her here. Bring her here. Bring her here. Bring her here. Jesus. 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 We banish that which sponsors your strength. We banish it. We banish it. We banish it. In the name of Jesus. Just two of us. Yes, do not pass me by. Oh, Savior, 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 my Naro Silo Sababatan Recivicalata. Amen. God is impressing an ear in my heart. That's a picture I have. I'm just traveling by pictures. An ear in my heart. And what he's saying to me is that there is someone in this building, one person. The signature of your fellowship with the Holy Spirit was strong ability to hear him. For some people, when they fellowship with the Spirit, what they come into is a knowing. Some come into deeper understanding. Some find out that their physical body becomes petrified. But this individual, your ability to hear was the asset, the signature of your relationship. But right now, you have lost it. You have lost it. And the Lord is saying to me that this individual is frustrated. You have been speaking to the Lord about it. So, it's not something new. But Jesus says tonight, he wants to answer your prayer. The ear that he has impressed into my heart is gifting to you as an anointing. He's gifting to you as an anointing. So Lord, help me find this individual and restore the lost ear. Help me find this individual and restore the lost ear. Help find this individual and restore the lost ear. Do it now, Holy Ghost. Do it now, Holy Ghost. Do it now, Holy Ghost. Do it now, Holy Ghost, that lost signature of fellowship will be restored. Now the hand of the Lord is descending upon that individual right now, and the ability to hear like you used to is being restored. Holy Ghost, is tall now. Is tall now. Still on the case of hearing, the Lord is saying to me that there are 5 other individuals. Your experience in hearing is of muffling spirits. It means when you perceive that God is speaking to you, it's like you hear multiple voices. I want to pray with the 5 of them. You can come forward. You hear multiple voices, so it becomes difficult to fully come into the understanding of what God is saying. I want to pray with those people. You can come here. There are 5. But that ear is still being installed. That ear is still being installed. When Jesus perfects it, he will deposit an anointing. You are the one who is laying hands this night. So you can join. You can join. You can join. Just ask the Lord. It's a simple prayer that those muffling spirits should go silent. Are there this plenty? No, you can lay hands on their heads. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. Lord, I wait on you to perfect this precious one to whom you are restoring hearing ability. Help me find. Help me find. Help me find and restore. Help me find and restore. Help me find and restore. I insist that that ear is restored. I insist that that ear is restored. Let your hand come strong on that individual. Let the intensity of the anointing overwhelm that person. I want to know the person. I want to know the person. I want to know the person. Show us mercy. Let that which was done that occasioned the loss be forgiven. And let there be restoration of that signature of fellowship. I come tonight upon the strength of mercy. Upon the strength of mercy. Now the hand of the Lord is becoming strong on that individual. So the ushers can help me find. There's someone that God is touching right now, and it's becoming stronger. It's becoming stronger. It's becoming stronger. Okay, you can help me with the person. Those muffling spirits are silent forever. They are silent forever. They are silent forever. We consecrate your ears to hear the Lord. And now Jesus restores this lost relationship. Your ears are restored. Your ears are restored. You will hear him. You will understand what he's saying. And the capacity to obey him is also restored. Jesus, send help here. Send help here. Send help. Send help. Send help. Let that which occasioned the lost be forgiven. Mercy. 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 In the name of Jesus. Church, can we pray for 2 minutes? Don't pass us by. Like Bartimaeus, we lift up our voices, Jesus. Now, Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. In Jesus' name, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, how do I put this? The Lord is saying that there are four. Okay, let's go the other way. There are two intercessors in this building. I'm going to just describe your experience and we'll trust Jesus for help. The two of you have advanced in prayers, but the Lord is saying everything you gain, I mean you covered the prayers, you are visited with migraine. These two individuals. And the Lord is saying to me that it is the activity of an oppressive spirit. Every time you gain mileage, that's the word we use in prayers, you ascend beyond the natural realm and you begin to do accurate business. You are struck with migraine and you drop out of prayer. Now, one of you, when you go that far and the migraine comes, you become sick. So for a while you don't even pray. You stay out of prayer for a few days until it fades, and then you start your journey again. I want to pray with these two individuals. I'm not going to ask that the Lord will touch you. I want to pray for you because both of you have become victims of an oppressive spirit. An oppressive spirit that does not want you to go far in God. I want to pray with the two intercessors. You have been praying. Am I very clear? Every time you pray and you pray well and pray long, migraine visits you. And then you drop out of prayer. One of you stays out of prayer even for a few days. I want to pray with the two individuals. They can come here. There are another four individuals I want to pray for. These four individuals, they are different strains of the grace of God that find expression in your life. The Lord is saying to me that you came into these expressions because you went for a conference and certain men imparted you, and then you were switched on. One of the four is a seer. You didn't have sight before you went for that conference. But in addition to your seeing capacity and the other graces that have embodied, there are character flaws that have appeared inside you. How do I manage this now? I don't like discussing this part of the issue. Because one of you has found that there is a suggestion for the alteration of sexual persuasion. What I mean is that the person who laid hands on you is not straight. You understand what sexual persuasions are? That person is captured within the context of the LGBT. He's a man of God. He's a fallen man of God. He still has realities. He has switched you on to his strengths. But you also embodied the strangeness of spirits. And so, I don't know if you're a lady or a man, but there is a periodic suggestion that you could be with same sex or multiple sex. That version is the one I'm really interested in. But there are four individuals like that. I want you to come. I'll pray for you. Now, what is this one about? Okay, the migraine people. Okay. So, go and lay hands on them. Go and lay hands on them. I want to pray for these other people. You were not this strong, you were not this gifted. Conference. And then you returned, and then you have energy. There are things you can do. But there are also things that were added. Come quickly. I want to pray for you. Don't be afraid. It's only me you should tell what is wrong with. Don't tell another person. Come quickly. Come quickly. There are four individuals. Almost, because it's almost time. Come quickly. Come quickly. If you meet me outside, I will never attend to you. In the name of Jesus. Let me pray for you now. It's not all of you that feel that way. But all of you have weaknesses that were never captured within your frame. Come quickly. One of you is a seer and you did not see until you went for that conference. I can confirm to you that you were not designed in God to even be a seer. You just adopted the reality because a strange man laid hands on you. Now if you don't find them, I'll ask Jesus to look for them. Okay, there's nobody. Okay. Jesus, because you do not lie to me, help me find these four individuals who went for a conference and then were imparted, but they also captured strangeness. You have promised to deliver them, so help them and deliver them. 1 to 12. Help me look into the congregation and separate them from that reality of strangeness. Do it now, Holy Ghost. Do it now, Holy Ghost. From my right to my left, from the front to the back, show me this form. Show me this form. Holy Ghost, one. Two, Holy Spirit, break their chains. Let the affiliation with that strange minister be shattered tonight. Three, Holy Spirit. Four, five, six, Holy Ghost. Seven, eight. Let your hand be quick to deliver. 9. Holy Spirit, 10. One of these individuals is a young man. And one of the realities you bought into, you find out that you are strangely attracted to small children. The things I'm seeing are so real. That's the picture I'm seeing now. You are anointed. You are anointed. When you lay hands on people, things happen. But in your heart, there is a strange attraction to small girls. Now, I had an experience a while ago. There's a well-known Nigerian minister, I won't mention his name, that I love listening to. It's not the one in your heart, so don't worry. I found out that every time I listened to him, if I traveled, like the experience that brother is having, my eyes see me in the direction of small girls. And I knew I was like that. So last year, when my wife went for Christmas, I shared that ministry before. I sat with Jesus and I said, what's the problem? He said, that minister you are listening to. I said, why is he like that? He said, because that minister is like that. So his altar in sound sprinkles that reality. I've researched the minister is like that. Name withheld. So, after a while, before I researched him, after 3 weeks, I saw that the thing had faded, and I was traveling again, and I felt, maybe I didn't hear well. So I played the sound again. I was traveling to Lorin. And by the time I entered the Lorin, I saw that my eyes had begun to stray again. So I knew that Jesus was not lying. So what I now did, was to wipe off all of the songs of that minister on my phone, because I was just being influenced. It was not me. There are three individuals Jesus wants to help, and I'm not trying to encourage you to come. I'm saying that even now, he will help you. Lord Jesus, play with me, someone. I insist that you will break these yokes tonight. Let that which you did not put upon their lives, which has found expression, be destroyed. And help me find these my brothers who are strong but struggling. Separate them from these strange oils by the anointing. Send us, oh God, the flames of heaven and burn up the oil. Send us the flames of heaven and burn up the oil. Send us the flames of heaven and burn up the oil. Let the affiliation break in the name of Jesus. Oh, burn. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost, fire burn everywhere. Oh, oh, fire. Now, the challenge is simple. These individuals love the anointing, what their experiences more than freedom. But in the name of Jesus, we override your affiliation with that anointing. It's strange. So the Lord quickens your feet into freedom, and he separates you from it. Jesus, you showed me four individuals that are ripe for deliverance. You have touched one. Help me find the three, and in mercy, against their will, sever them from this strange oil. Holy Ghost, sever them. I wait on the Lord for 2 minutes. I'll just pray in tongues. Let him help me find them. The cover gizetus aiza in matekesto makos and plakeva sita bikade minon kailo sito nakeleto tai me proskebiria varato basane late be separated in the name of Jesus. Oh, Satomus cabre, the Rusia Satanada. Milo Sibo Compressi Vihata Beroski Kito Santelli Cobrahas. Let the deliverance that you are rotting here be extended. Let your might that you are demonstrating here break, not just here, but across the other three, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Because none walks out of this building bound. Let those spirits be loosed right now. Let freedom feel most there. Let the influences of these princes or not princes in the kingdom that have infiltrated this life cease. Break in the name of Jesus. Oh, tonight I come by the blood. I come by the blood. Let the blood that saved also become the blood that delivered. Let these strange feelings, let these strange drawings cease. Separate them by the anointing.
particular about this brother, because you will be exposed in a little while. That's my fear. Hey. Jesus, mercy. Jesus, mercy. Jesus, mercy. Okay. If you know that you are speaking to, maybe you should come. I was in a barbing saloon 3 times ago that I bibed my hair, and a young man came in who was claiming to be a believer. I saw that he had his feet dipped in advanced fraud. Yahoo boys, we have a good quantity of them in our city. And it was a Sunday afternoon. His name was Sunday. Maybe if you listen to our sermons, there was a day I prayed for one Sunday. Because I saw that in 2 months, Sunday will be arrested and he will languish in jail. So I warned. But Sunday said, "What do I mean? What kind of person are you? How can you say you can see my future? Are we not all human beings?" So I told the person that was with me, he said he won't last a few days. The following morning, police were looking for him. By Monday, all that time we're praying on Sunday, the police were already looking for Sunday. Because he left the barber shop, desperately in need of money, stole something, and then that was him. Church, can we pray for this brother? This one who is beginning to gravitate in his heart towards the young. I know it's because it's something shameful. So I'm trying to negotiate with God if by mercy God can reach him where he is. It's not wrong. That's why I give my example. Many of the things that happen in our hearts are not us. We must always look for help. What I said here is in about 2 sermons that I have preached. To show that as we are, the enemy knows how to get us. So that a man can start from prayer and end in immorality. The spirit came because he prayed. Can we ask Jesus that he will show this brother mercy and deliver him from prayer? What will happen to the brother is that grace that he received from the trial. Help my brother. Oh fire, Holy Ghost fire. Wherever he's standing, Lord, purify his heart with the flames of heaven. Let the influence of this strange oil dry up. Save him. Let that which he prides in not or become his shame. Save him. Let these strange drawings perish with the oil. Save our brother. Let the God who saved me from that strange influence reach out in mercy and deliver him. Let his chains break. Let his chains break. Let the night be his night of freedom. Oh, makasai mokati talos. Melondo kaliante kasemenate. Marako seto kitome kanto. Maiko separato santelea. Oh, send him help. In Jesus' name we are praying. Before we pray for the sick, I'm still trusting God for the deliverance of that brother. I believe, but I want God to give me a sign. The Lord is saying that someone here, like this brethren, walked into a meeting. And if you look back, you find out that there is a strange dream experience you began to have after that conference. It's like you find yourself appearing in a strange place, somewhere like having occultic configurations. I'm just trying to describe my sight. You sleep, you know you're anointed, you're imparted, but you find yourself in an occultic kind of dream setting. The Lord will have me pray with this person. He's saying to me that that impartation was an initiation. I want to pray with you. Please come quick. We're out of time. I have just 6 minutes. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's not disgraceful. You were seeking something precious, but your dream has been recalibrated. Please come quickly. Please come quickly. Don't waste my time. I plead with you. Don't waste my time. He doesn't lie to me. It was an initiation. I know you are powerful, but God is telling me that you were initiated. It's an occultic thing. People don't teach that you can enter courts from church. It's the easiest thing to do now. If I came tonight by strange powers, everybody I laid hands on is part of us right now. If that's how I came, it's as simple as that. In your dreams, you find yourself in a place periodically that has occultic calibrations, things hanging around that place. Please come quickly. We are not saying you are a witch. Ha. Okay. All eyes closed. Let's help you people. Please, you find us. Please raise your hand. Don't raise your hand if you are not. You've been having these strange experiences to have. I want us to, everybody, above all, God. Okay. So, good. So, let us pray that entrance is broken from tonight. Church, pray. Because you have one hand raised. Don't open your eyes. What we are doing is undoing an impartation. God has plans for these individuals, but the enemy has decided to bring corruption, and we undo it tonight. We undo it tonight. We undo it tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we undo it tonight. We have just one last prayer, and we're asking the Lord to undo it. Let this one be free. Let this one be free. Let this accidental initiation be cut off. Come into liberty. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Now the Lord is speaking to me about 3 individuals who have respiratory ailments. Respiratory ailments. I know there may be a lot of other cases of sickness, but the Lord is talking to me about people who have respiratory ailments. Maybe you're asthmatic, or some respiratory tract blockage. Your breathing is short. I want to pray for you physically. You can come. You can come quickly. It's not giving me a number. Just stand here. Just stand. How many more? I'm also seeing in my spirit someone with a hearing disorder. A hearing disorder. It's not like you are deaf, but there are movements around your ears. so that sometimes when words are spoken, you cannot hear with clarity. It's like you have more like a ball or air in your ears. Who is that person? Who is that person? It's like there's movement in your ears. Is there anybody like that? I'm hearing. Okay, so you can come here too. No, come there. They don't need that. Don't need that. Not people are used to kneeling down. Stay here. There's a brother who has been having recurrent pain in the lower abdomen. Who is that brother? On the right side. Lower abdominal pain on the right side. Come now. We're out of time. You? Okay, so be here. Now, church, we're going to stretch our hands to them and pray. In case you came with any other kind of ailment that I don't know about, there's also somebody with a lower back pain at the tip of your spine. Who is that person? Lower back pain at the tip of your spine. The way I know is that I feel what the person is feeling. And that's why I'm waiting like that. There's also somebody at the lower part of your rib is on the right side. There's a recurrent pain that happens there, here, because that's where I feel pain now. So who is that person? It's on the right, not on the left, but it's just in the region below your ribs. Holy Spirit, help me now. Come. Now, everything that the Lord revealed to, I want to know the nature of this respiratory disease. I want to know. Ask them. Church, can you stretch your hands as we pray for them? Everything that was felt tonight will not be felt again. Everything. What's the nature of the respiratory things? Okay, here. Okay. Okay. So let's pray for 2 minutes. Stretch your hands. Don't sleep now. Stretch your hands. So in the name, if you came with some other kind of ailment, you can put your right hand there. Put your right hand there. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, in the name of Jesus, tonight we curse every area of discomfort. We curse the discomfort. We curse the ailments. And we decree in the name of Jesus, the last time the difficulties were felt was the last time. Every ailment that is rooted in a physiological disorder, go in the name of Jesus. Every pain that has made this body is a place of abode, we evict you in the name of Jesus. Every respiratory tract infection, every vent of asthma, the one who sent me says to tell you that you have no place in these bodies, and I decree in the name of Jesus, go and never return. I rebuke the case of difficulty in breathing. Like we breathe freely, without aid, let your breathing be restored in the name of Jesus. Oh, pain in the spine, pain around the knee, muscular pain on the right thigh. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Lord is revealing a regular skin condition. It's a young lady. It's something that brings you a lot of shame, but tonight Jesus brings healing. Be free in the name of Jesus. Pressure in the eye. Pressure in the eye. There's someone whose eyes periodically drops water. Not because something entered it, but because there's somewhat of an infection in the eye that comes again and again. I'm speaking to every kind of disorder of the hearing. Movements of air in the ear. Partial deafness. In the name of Jesus, be healed right now. I insist that you are free. Now, there's a parent who has been bedridden for a long time. A parent who has been bedridden for a long time. Who is that person? I'm seeing the picture of an elderly man who has been sick for long. I don't know if it's a father or an uncle, but closely related to somebody here. Who is that person? Just wave your hand. Okay, come. Come. Jesus wants to put an end to it. And the recovery starts tonight. What's the situation? So we'll pray. Our prayer is simple, Lord. The recovery begins tonight. I sense that two of these cases are afflictions. And tonight, the hand of the oppressor is cut off. Amen. Church, can we pray? Church, can we pray? My time is actually up, so we'll do that in 2 minutes. And then we can proceed. Let the hand of the oppressor be cut off. Let the signet, the scepter that has sustained this oppression, be withdrawn. Tonight, health breaks out. Tonight, health breaks out. That wound closes in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm going to pray now, but let me share a testimony with you. I was in church one night, I was preaching, and the Lord spoke to me like this, that there was a lady, or there was a female parent. What I saw was an elderly woman who had a wound. Now, because I'm not a prophet, sometimes I don't trust utterances. I must confess, sometimes I'm still neither here nor there. So I just said, okay, maybe it's an auntie, maybe it's a mom. And then three ladies came up and said that their moms were sick. I didn't see sickness, it was a wound. One of them said that her mom had a wound, and the wound has been there for over a year. It was the 25th of that month, so I felt moved to give a decree that the wound will close before the end of that month. It's medically impossible. But if I knew how long that wound was, I would not even pray. So I decreed, and the following Sunday I was in town. I was watching from Lagos, and the lady came crying and said that on the Tuesday the mom started feeling itching around the wound, and when she woke up on Friday the wound was closed. The wound was open for 12 years. When I heard 12 years, my heart started beating, because if she had told me 12 years, I would have said, Jesus will heal you next year. I'm not that strong. Unfortunately, I'm not learning to be strong. I'm comfortable being weak. We're going to trust Jesus that tonight all of this are healed.
Amen.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak against that condition of paralysis and we decree a total restoration.
Amen.
Of mobility.
Amen.
Let every part of his body that has gone that way be restored.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we decree against that breakout wound. We decree against that breakout wound. In the name of Jesus, let the forces of darkness that occasioned it be cut off in the name of Jesus. And we restore health and healing speedily, even this month, in the mighty name of Jesus. For that precious one that has been bedridden for years, I decree strength. Let that which is diseased be removed. Let the health break forth speedily in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That one with a broken limb will restore health right now. Will restore health right now. Let the pain disappear. Let bone reconnect back to bone. Let bone reconnect back to bone. Let it enter the original shape in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise and glory. I ask of you finally that everyone under the sound of my voice who has defaulted in sonship will be helped tonight. Let graces that make for perfection, let graces that make for accurate standing be imparted in the name of Jesus. I plead with you that above every other thing, you will reveal to them the path of purity. Let the spirit of corruption that has been released to waste a generation not have power over these ones. Let Katsina become to everyone under the sound of my voice Bethel. We reconfigure the territory. Let it become a place of encounter. You will meet God here. You will embody God here. And that which you contact in God will remain. If there is anyone at the gate of temptation, I ask that the Lord who keeps me free from sin will be your God.
Amen.
Yes, sin knocks at your door, but we decree that that door will not open.
Amen.
Jesus, even if anyone under the sound of my voice chooses to consciously stray, I ask that in the day of their straining, you will put a wall before them. Ensuring that the hand of the enemy does not find them. In the name of Jesus. Such helps as I have received from you. Such helps. I'm not a strong man, I'm just a man helped. I ask that that same help will be available to all of them in the name of Jesus. It is by God that I prevail, and I decree from tonight, you will prevail.
Amen.
I hear the Spirit say debts. Is anybody owing money in this place? Raise your hand. Who amongst you was in business and business crashed and now you are owing money? What kind of business are you doing? Okay. It's the financial guys I want to pray for. Come and stand here. I bear the scars of recovery in that realm. And Jesus has given me an anointing to close that gate. Lift up your hands to Jesus. Father, tonight, no matter how much it is. Now, what may I want? Oh, it was 32 million. At that time, the dollar was still 99. Now it's 10. So it means if you convert what I was owing now to what you may be owing. Jesus, lift your hands. You said to me that everywhere I go, we will have these testimonies of debt cancellation by supplies or by favor. I ask of you again tonight that that same garment of favor that you wore upon me, that made me defended while you were sorting it, will be upon these shoulders. Let every form of pressure, every form of pressure, let it die in the name of Jesus. And I decree this new week as that week in which the favor of God begins to express on your life for the writing off of your debts. For some, it will be total debt cancellation. For others, it will be connection to supernatural supply. But I decree in the name of Jesus that your debts are paid. When God walked into that police cell in Ogba on the 16th of January 2011, because I was arrested one night owing to 3 me, there was a rain of favor that fell upon me, that when I walked out of the cell at 11 a.m. the next day, what I was still owing was 4.9 million. My creditors woke up early in the morning and signed the police that I'm no longer owing them in one night. Let that strange order of favor come upon you in the name of Jesus. That you begin to receive calls from those who used to trouble you, that they have let you go. Thank you for these testimonies. You have done it everywhere. Tonight you do it again. In the name of Jesus. One more testimony. A young man was owing money and he called me. He said he was about to commit suicide. I asked how much he was owing. He told me. And so I decided to value how much he was owing against the Jesus that saved him. And I convinced him that he was more favored because of the amount that bought him. The blood is more expensive than that amount. He said, but the person said he will kill him. He said, favor will come upon him. Call the person you are owing and tell him you have money to pay him. I say, will kill me. I said, call him. So he called the person and strangely the person who had threatened death said to him, okay, don't worry. Now the young man became afraid of don't worry again. Say, you will kill me. He said, I say, don't worry. It's normal to lose money. When the creditor found out that this young man did not believe him, the creditor blocked his line. At least if you can't call me again to say you are sorry, that will be the end. The young man is alive and well, and the creditor has never spoken to him about the debt again. I'm saying that from this week, you will get phone calls that will cancel your debts. Now, there are three amongst you that were apportioned or given places in financial services. It's not all of you. Some just want to do something. Say they are making money in crypto and then you jumped into it. But there are three that have been called to operate in that place. Beyond your debt cancellation, I speak over the lives of these three individuals. That unusual favor to recover those businesses is upon you right now. And I measure to you by the Spirit of God a 90-day period. That all those businesses will come alive again. But favor you will receive from people that you ask. By favor, those that you do not know, but I've heard that you are engaged in those in along those lines, we look for you and gift you. In the name of Jesus. Well, thank you, Father. Because ease becomes experience of these ones. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. When your testimony comes, share with this man, God. No bother to call me because it will come, but share with him. God bless you. Let me take my seat. My time is up. So they want me to bless the general house. Can we start? I stand against abortions in your dreams. And I decree that every one of you will live life to the fullness. There is something Jesus died for. You will achieve that thing. Oh, I decree that death is rebuked for your sake. He will satisfy you with long life. And he will show you his salvation. As you go forth, I decree that you are aided by the Spirit of God. You are blessed with health. You are blessed with wisdom. You are blessed with wealth. You are blessed with favor. The little in your hand becomes much in the name of Jesus. Even the certificates that you have are blessed. I decree that they become gates of prosperity. In the mighty name of Jesus. The graces that God has planted in you as seeds begin to find expression. Let everything that stands against you be brought down before you. I decree tonight that like your father Abraham, the Lord bless you. The Lord make your name great. And you will become a blessing. Everyone that blesses you is blessed. The ones that curse you are cursed of the Lord. The lands that God has apportioned for you, because I hear the sounds of some of your feet outside this nation, I decree that there will be no blockages. You will go in peace. There will not be unto you lands of toil. I bless the lands to be the lands of your prosperity. A few of you have been called to pulpit ministry. I decree in the name of Jesus that the God who helps us will help you. The Lord will make a name for himself out of your lives. I decree. If there be any altars that have been raised against any one of you under the sound of my voice, for your sake the altars are quietened. If there be any gang up against your advancement, in whatever sphere it is, I decree in the name of Jesus that my God will scatter their gatherings. The Lord has shown me the path of pleasing him, even against the will of men. I'm not too loved by many, but I cannot be stopped. I ask of the Lord that as you bring him pleasure, he will put your life on a path where you can no longer be stopped. You will love Jesus. You will love Jesus. And because you love him, you will serve him. Your desire to know him will be insatiable. Your hunger will not find full fulfillment. Every new layer you come to in God will leave you with a hunger for something more. In the name of Jesus, I decree over your lives that in your days the kingdom of God will not suffer loss. In your day when God is seeking for a man, the search will end with you. You will be that man that God will deploy. In the name of Jesus, that will disqualify the generation before yours will not have power over you. I resist the force of corruption for your sake. And I decree that your garments will not be stained. In the mighty name of Jesus. If in case any one of you comes from a family that has characteristic weaknesses, I decree that you will become a new beginning in that family. You will not be numbered among the casualties of that family. The one who has brought you this far, from secondary to university, into youth service, will not abandon you as a project. I decree over your life's destiny will not stop here. He has begun a good work and he will perfect it. It took me years trying to find a help that is meet for my life because I chose my way. God, in the year 2001, entered a covenant with me that if I ever get married, it will be by Him. And for another 16 years, I tried to get it done by myself. Pursued some for 5 years, pursued some for 4 years, until I agreed with Him in 2017 that I will marry His choice. And in 2019, at the age of 37, He made His word good. I ask that your time should not be long. However, I also forbid strange marriages. The ones that the Lord has apportioned to you, you will meet them. Love and understanding will be your portion. Your marriages will be exemplary marriages. For good in the name of Jesus. I forbid mismatches in the name of Jesus. You will not come across those that you have bought your destiny. For the brothers, the helps that God has assigned for you, you will meet them, you will be engaged and get married to them. For the sisters, the ones that you have been assigned to help, I decree in the name of Jesus, you will meet them, you will be engaged, you will marry them. If there be anyone under the sound of my voice that is wrongly connected, let the mercy of God split you apart. The Lord chose for me the place of my abode. I wanted to be somewhere else. I ask that your feet will tread upon the lands that God has given you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I received from my spiritual father, the Apostle Arobe, it was a gate of spiritual inheritance that he opened to me. By the same mercies that I found in God, I ask that from tonight you will begin to function spiritually. Amen. Beyond your labor. Amen. That which other men have labored to in the spirit will become your experiences. Amen. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, God bless you. Amen. Thank you so much.